Not thinking of leaving, are you? Jesus, I'm about to spend a small fortune on acquiring this firm, and she's talking about leaving.
Possibly. I'm not sure you've given me a great deal of choice.
Yes, I will buy that company too. This could get expensive.
Don't you think you're being a tad overprotective?
There's a hint of sarcasm in her voice. Maybe. She's right. Yes, I am fully aware of how this looks. I concede.
Paging Dr. Flynn, she says, rolling her eyes.
And I want to reprimand her for that, but she stands and holds her hand out for my empty bowl.
Would you like dessert?
She says with an insincere smile. Now you're talking. I grin, ignoring her attitude. You can be dessert, baby.
Not me,
she says quickly, as if she can read my mind.
We have ice cream. Vanilla,
she adds, and smiles as if she's privy to some inside joke. Oh, Anna, this just gets better and better. Really? I think we could do something with that. This is going to be fun. I rise to my feet in anticipation of what's to come and who's to come. Her, me, both of us. Can I stay? I ask.
What do you mean?
The night?
I assumed that you would.
Good. Where's the ice cream?
In the oven.
Her smirk is back. Oh, Anastasia Steele, my palm is twitching. Sarcasm is the lowest form of wit, Miss Steele. I could still take you across my knee. She arches a brow.
Do you have those silver ball things?
I want to laugh. This is good news. It means she's amenable to the occasional spanking. But that's for another time. I pat down my shirt and jeans pockets as if in search for some Kegel balls. Funnily enough, I don't carry a spare set around with me. Not much call for them in the office. She gasps with faux outrage.
I'm very glad to hear it, Mr. Gray, and I thought you said that sarcasm was the lowest form of wit.
Well, Anastasia, my new motto is, if you can't beat 'em, join 'em. Her mouth drops open. And she's dumbfounded. Yes. Why is it so much fun to spar with her? I head toward the fridge, grinning like the fool that I am, open the freezer door and pull out a pint of vanilla ice cream. This will do just fine. I hold up the container. Ben and Jerry's and Anna. From the cutlery drawer, I grab a spoon. When I look up, Anna has a greedy look, and I don't know if it's for me or the ice cream. I hope it's for a combination of both. It's playtime, baby. I hope you're warm. I'm going to cool you down with this. Come. I hold out my hand, and I'm thrilled when she takes it. She wants to play, too. The light from her bedside lamp is insipid, and her room's a little dark. She might have preferred this ambiance at one time, but judging by her behavior earlier this evening, she seems less shy and more comfortable with her nudity. I place the ice cream on her bedside table and drag the duvet and pillows off the bed and onto the floor. You have a change of sheets, don't you? She nods, watching me from the threshold of her room. Charlie Tango lies crumpled on the bed.
Don't mess with my balloon,
she warns when I pick it up. I let it go and watch as it floats to the duvet on the floor. Wouldn't dream of it, baby, but I do want to mess with you and these sheets. We're going to get sticky, and so is her bedding. Now to the important question. Will she or won't she? I want to tie you up, I whisper. In the silence that stretches between us, I hear her soft gasp. Oh, that sound.
Okay,
she says. Just your hands to the bed. I need you still.
Okay,
she repeats. I stalk toward her, our eyes locked. We'll use this. I grab the sash from her robe, tug gently, and her robe opens, revealing a naked Anna. A further tug and the sash is free.
With a gentle push at the shoulders, her robe falls to the floor. She doesn't take her eyes off mine, and she doesn't make any attempt to cover herself. Well done, Anna. My knuckles graze her cheek. Her face is smooth like satin beneath my touch. I give her a quick peck on the lips. Lie on the bed, face up. Showtime, baby. I sense Anna's anticipation as she does what she's told, lying down on the bed for me. Standing over her, I take a moment to admire her. My girl. My stunning girl. Long legs, narrow waist, perfect tits. Her flawless skin is radiant in the dusky light, and her eyes glint darkly with carnal longing as she waits. I'm a lucky guy. My body stiffens in agreement. I could look at you all day, Anastasia. The mattress dips as I crawl onto it and straddle her. Arms above your head, I demand. She complies immediately, and using the sash, I fasten her wrists together, then to the metal spindles of her headboard. There. What a mighty fine sight she is. I give her a quick and grateful peck on the lips and climb off the bed. Once I'm standing, I pull off my shirt and jeans and place a condom on the bedside table. Now, what to do? At the end of the bed once more, I grab her ankles and pull her down the mattress so that her arms are fully extended. The less she can move, the more intense the sensations will be. That's better, I mutter to myself. Grabbing the ice cream and spoon, I straddle her again. She bites her lip as I lift the lid and try to scoop out a spoonful. It's still quite hard. I contemplate smearing some of this on me and inserting myself into her mouth. But as I taste how cold it is, I fear it might have a negative shriveling effect on my body. That would be inconvenient. Delicious. I lick my lips for effect as it melts in my mouth. Amazing how good plain old vanilla can taste. I watch her and she grins at me, her expression luminous. Want some? She nods, a little uncertain, I think. I take another spoonful and offer her the contents so that she opens her mouth. I change my mind and pop it into my mouth. It's like taking candy from a baby. This is too good to share, I declare, teasing her. Hey, she starts. Why, Miss Steele, do you like your vanilla?
Yes,
she exclaims, and surprises me by trying to buck me off, but my weight is no match for her. I laugh. Getting feisty, are we? I wouldn't do that if I were you. She stills.
Ice cream,
she whines, pouting in frustration. Well, as you've pleased me so much today, Miss Steele. I scoop some more onto the spoon and present it to her. She regards me with amused uncertainty, but she parts her lips and I acquiesce, tipping the vanilla into her mouth. My erection hardens as I imagine her lips around me. All in good time, Gray. Gently, I ease the spoon from her mouth and scoop up more ice cream. She takes the second spoonful greedily. It's a little runnier, as it's beginning to melt from the warmth of my hand around the tub. Slowly, I feed her another spoonful. Well, this is one way to ensure you eat. Force feed you. I could get used to this. She clamps her mouth shut when I offer her more, and there's a defiant gleam in her eye as she shakes her head. She's had enough. I tip the spoon, and oh so slowly, the melted ice cream drips onto her throat, and as I move the spoon, the drips fall on her sternum. Her mouth opens. Oh, yes, baby. Bending down, I lick her clean with my tongue. Tastes even better off you, Miss Steele. She tries to flex her arms, pulling against her robe tie, but it holds, keeping her in place. The next spoonful I dribble artfully over her breasts and nipples, watching with fascination as each nipple hardens under the cold assault. With the back of the spoon, I spread the vanilla over each pebbled peak, and she squirms beneath me. Cold? I ask, and, not waiting for an answer, I gorge myself, licking and lapping wherever there are rivulets of ice cream, sucking at her breasts, elongating her nipples further. She closes her eyes and groans. Want some?
I take a large mouthful, swallowing some, then kissing her, thrusting my tongue and ice cream into her waiting mouth. Ben and Jerry's and Anna. Exquisite. I sit up and scoop back so I'm straddling her thighs and dribble melted ice cream off the spoon from the bottom of her sternum and down the center of her abdomen. I leave a large dollop of vanilla in her navel. Her eyes spring open in heated surprise. Now, you've done this before, I warn. You're going to have to stay still or there will be ice cream all over the bed. I pop a large spoonful of vanilla into my mouth and return to her breasts, sucking each of her nipples in turn with my cool lips and tongue. I crawl down her body, following the melted ice cream, lapping it up. She writhes beneath me, her hips pulsing in a familiar rhythm. Oh, baby, if you kept still, you'd feel so much more. I devour what's left of the ice cream in her navel using my tongue. She's sticky, but not everywhere. Yet. I kneel between her thighs and trail another spoonful of ice cream down her belly and into her pubic hair, to my ultimate goal. I dribble the remaining vanilla onto her swollen clitoris. She cries out and tenses her legs. Hush now. Leaning down, I slowly lick and suck her clean.
Oh, please, Christian.
I know, baby, I know. I whisper against her sensitive skin, but continue my lascivious invasion. Her legs tense again. She's close. Abandoning the tub of vanilla so that it falls to the floor, I ease one finger inside her, then another, enjoying how wet, warm, and welcoming her body feels, and concentrate on her sweet, sweet spot, caressing her, feeling her, knowing that she's nearly there, her climax imminent. Just here, I murmur as my fingers slowly pump in and out of her. She lets out a strangled cry as her body convulses around my fingers. Yes. I withdraw my hand and reach over for the foil packet. And even though I hate these things, it takes only a second to put on. I hover over her while she's still in the throes of her orgasm and thrust into her. Oh, yes. I moan. She's heaven. My heaven. But she's sticky. All over. My skin is sticking to hers, and it's disconcerting. I withdraw and flip her onto her elbows and knees. This way, I mutter, and reach forward to undo the sash, freeing her hands. When she's free, I pull her up so she's sitting astride me, her back to my front. I palm her breasts and tug on her nipples as she groans and tilts her head back so that it's resting on my shoulder. I nuzzle her neck and begin flexing my hips, driving deeper inside her. She smells of apples and vanilla and Anna, my favorite fragrance. Do you know how much you mean to me? I whisper into her ear as her head is thrown back in ecstasy.
No,
she breathes. I gently wrap my fingers around her jaw and throat, stilling her. Yes, you do. I'm not going to let you go. Never. I love you. You are mine, Anastasia.
Yes, yours.
I take care of what's mine, I whisper, and my teeth graze her earlobe. She cries out. That's right, baby. I want to hear you. I want to take care of you. I curl my arm around her waist, holding her against me while I grasp her hip with my other hand, and I continue to thrust inside her. She rises and falls with me, crying out, moaning, groaning. Sweat beads on my back, on my forehead, and on my chest, so we're slipping and sliding against each other as she rides me. She fists her hands and stops moving, her legs braced around me, her eyes closed as she lets out a silent cry.
Come on, baby.
I growl through clenched teeth, and she comes, screaming a garbled version of my name. I let go, coming inside her and losing all sense of self. We sink onto the bed, and I wrap her in my arms as we lie in a sticky, sugary, panting mess together. I take a deep breath as her hair brushes against my lips. Will it always be this way? Mind-blowing. I close my eyes and enjoy this lucid, quiet moment of peace. After a while, she stirs.
What I feel for you frightens me,
she says, a little hoarse. Me too, baby. More than you know.
What if you leave me?
What? Why would I leave her? I've been lost without her. I'm not going anywhere. I don't think I could ever have my fill of you, Anastasia. She turns in my arms and studies me, her eyes dark and intense, and I have no idea what she's thinking. She leans up and kisses me, a soft, tender kiss. What the hell is she thinking? I tuck a wisp of hair behind her ear. I have to make her believe I'm here for the long haul, for as long as she'll have me. I've never felt the way I felt when you left, Anastasia. I would move heaven and earth to avoid feeling like that again. The nightmares, the guilt, the despair sucking me into the abyss, drowning me. Shit. Pull yourself together, Gray. No, I never want to feel like that again. She kisses me once more, a gentle, beseeching kiss, comforting me. Don't think about it, Gray. Think about something else. I remember my parents' summer ball. Will you come with me to my father's summer party tomorrow? It's an annual charity thing. I said I'd go. I hold my breath. This is a date, a real date.
Of course I'll come.
Anna's face lights up, but then falls. What?
Nothing.
Tell me, I insist.
I have nothing to wear.
Yes, you do. Don't be mad, but I still have all those clothes for you at home. I'm sure there are a couple of dresses in there.
Do you now?
She purses her lips. I couldn't get rid of them.
Why?
You know why, Anna. I caress her hair, willing her to understand. I wanted you back, and I kept them for you. She shakes her head, resigned.
You are, as ever, challenging, Mr. Gray.
I laugh because it's true and also because it's something I might say to her. Her expression lightens.
I'm gooey. I need a shower.
We both do.
Sadly, there's no room for two. You go, and I'll change this bedding.
Her bathroom is the size of my shower, and this has to be the smallest shower cubicle I've ever been in. I'm practically face to face with the showerhead. However, I discover the source of her fragrant hair, green apple shampoo. As the water trickles over me, I open the lid and, closing my eyes, take a long sniff. Anna, I may have to add this to Mrs. Jones's shopping list. When I open my eyes, Anna is staring at me, hands on hips. To my disappointment, she's wearing her robe. This shower is small, I complain.
I told you. Are you smelling my shampoo?
Maybe. I grin. She laughs and hands me a towel that is designed with the spines of classic books. Anna is ever the bibliophile. I wrap it around my waist and give her a swift kiss. Don't be long. That's not a request. Lying in her bed, waiting for her return, I look around her room. It doesn't feel lived in. Three walls are stark exposed brick, the fourth smooth concrete, but there's nothing on them. Anna's not had time to make this place home. She's been too miserable to unpack. And that's my fault. I close my eyes. I want her happy. Happy Anna. I smile. Saturday, June 11th, 2011. Anna is beside me, radiant, lovely, mine. She's dressed in a white satin robe. We're in Charlie Tango, chasing the dawn, chasing the dusk, chasing the dawn, the dusk. High above the clouds we fly, night a dark shroud arching over us. Anna's hair is burnished, Titian, bright from the setting sun. We have the world at our feet, and I want to give her the world. She's entranced. I do a wing over, and we're in my glider.
See the world, Anna. I want to show you the world. She laughs, giggling, happy, her braids pointing to the ground when she's upside down. Again, she calls, and I oblige. We roll and roll and roll. But this time she starts screaming. She's staring at me in horror, her face contorted, horrified, disgusted. At me. Me? No. No. She screams. I wake and my heart is pounding. Anna is tossing and turning beside me, making an eerie, unworldly sound that rouses every hair follicle on my body. In the glow of the ambient streetlight, I see she's still asleep. I sit up and shake her gently. Jesus, Anna! She wakes suddenly, gasping, eyes wild, terrified. Baby, are you okay? You were having a bad dream.
Oh,
she whispers. As she focuses on me, her lashes fluttering like the wings of a hummingbird, I reach over her and switch on her lamp. She squints in the half-light.
The girl,
she says, her eyes searching mine.
What is it? What girl?
I resist the urge to gather her in my arms and kiss away her nightmares. She blinks once more, and her voice is clearer, less fearful.
There was a girl outside SIP when I left this evening. She looked like me, but not really.
My scalp tingles. Leela. When was this? I ask, sitting upright.
When I left work this evening?
She's shaken.
Do you know who she is?
Yes. What the hell is Leela doing confronting Anna?
Who?
Anna asks. I should call Welch. During our update this morning, he had nothing to report on Leela's whereabouts. His team is still trying to find her.
Who?
Anna persists. Damn. I know she won't stop until she has some answers. Why the hell didn't she tell me earlier? It's Leela. Her frown deepens.
The girl who put toxic on your iPod?
Yes, did she say anything?
She said, "What do you have that I don't?" And when I asked who she was, she said, "I'm nobody."
Christ, Leela, what are you playing at? I have to call Welch. I stumble out of bed and slip on my jeans. In the living room, I retrieve my phone from my jacket pocket. Welch answers in two rings, and any hesitation I had about calling him at 5 a.m. disappears. He must have been awake.
Mr. Gray,
he says, his voice hoarse as usual.
I'm sorry to call you so early.
I begin pacing what space I have in the kitchen.
Sleep's not really my thing, Mr. Gray.
I figured. It's Leela. She accosted my girlfriend, Anastasia Steele.
Was it at her office or at her apartment? When did it happen?
Yes, outside SIP, yesterday early evening. I turn and Anna, dressed only in my shirt, is standing by the kitchen counter, watching me. I study her as I continue my conversation, her expression a mixture of curious and haunted. She looks beautiful.
What time exactly?
Welch asks. I repeat the question to Anna.
About 10 to 6,
she says.
Did you get that?
I ask Welch.
No.
10 to 6, I repeat.
So she's tracked Miss Steele to her work.
Find out how.
There are press photographs of the two of you together.
Yes. Anna tilts her head to one side and tosses her hair over her shoulder as she listens to my side of the conversation.
Do you think we should be concerned for Miss Steele's safety?
Welch inquires. I wouldn't have said so, but then I wouldn't have thought she could do this.
I think you should consider additional security for her, sir.
I don't know how that will go down. I look at Anna as she folds her arms, accentuating the outline of her breasts as they strain against the white cotton of my shirt.
I'd like to increase your security too, sir, Will you talk to Anastasia? Tell her of the danger she might be in.
Yes, I'll talk to her. Anna bites her lip. I wish she'd stop. It's distracting. Welch continues.
I'll brief Mr. Taylor and Mrs. Jones at a more reasonable hour.
Yes.
In the meantime, I'm going to need more personnel on the ground.
I know. I sigh.
We'll start with the stores in the vicinity of SIP, see if anyone saw anything. This could be the lead we've been waiting for.
Follow it up and let me know. Just find her, Welch. She's in trouble. Find her. I hang up and look at Anna. Her tangled hair tumbles over her shoulders. Her long legs are pale in the dim light from the hallway. I imagine them wrapped around me.
Do you want some tea?
She asks.
Actually, I'd like to go back to bed
and forget all this crap about Leela.
Well, I need some tea. Would you like to join me for a cup?
She moves to the stove, picks up the kettle, and begins to fill it with water.
I don't want fucking tea. I want to bury myself in you and forget about Leela.
Anna gives me a pointed look, and I realize she's waiting for an answer about tea.
Yes, please.
Even to my own ears, I sound surly. What does Leela want with Anna, and why the hell hasn't Welch found her?
What is it?
Anna asks a few minutes later. She's holding a familiar-looking teacup.
Anna, please, I don't want you to worry about this. You're not going to tell me?
She persists. No.
Why?
Because it shouldn't concern you. I don't want you tangled up in this.
It shouldn't concern me, but it does. She found me and accosted me outside my office. How does she know about me? How does she know where I work? I think I have a right to know what's going on.
She has an answer for everything.
Please?
She presses.
Oh, Anna. Anna. Anna, why do you do this?
Her bright blue eyes beseech me.
Fuck. I can't say no to that look.
Okay.
You win.
I have no idea how she found you. Maybe the photograph of us in Portland, I don't know. With some reluctance, I continue. While I was with you in Georgia, Leela turned up at my apartment unannounced and made a scene in front of Gail.
Gail?
Mrs. Jones.
What do you mean, made a scene?
I shake my head.
Tell me.
She puts her hands on her hips.
You're keeping something back.
Anna, I... Why is she so mad? I don't want her mixed up in this. She doesn't understand that Leela's shame is my shame. Leela chose to attempt suicide in my apartment, and I wasn't there to help her. She cried out to me for a reason.
Please.
Anna prompts again. She won't give up. I sigh with exasperation and tell her that Leela made a haphazard attempt at suicide.
Oh no.
Gail got her to the hospital, but Leela discharged herself before I could get there. The shrink who saw her called it a typical cry for help. He didn't believe her to be truly at risk. One step from suicidal ideation, he called it. But I'm not convinced. I've been trying to track her down since then to get her some help.
Did she say anything to Mrs. Jones?
Not much.
You can't find her? What about her family?
They don't know where she is. Neither does her husband.
Husband?
She exclaims.
Yes. That lying asshole.
She's been married for about 2 years.
So she was with you while she was married?
No, good God, no. She was with me nearly 3 years ago, and she left and married this guy shortly afterward. I told you, baby, I don't share. I've only tangled with one married woman, and that didn't end well.
So why is she trying to get your attention now?
I don't know. All we've managed to find out is that she ran out on her husband about 4 months ago. Anna picks up a teaspoon and waves it as she talks.
Let me get this straight. She hasn't been your submissive for 3 years.
About 2.5 years.
And she wanted more.
Yes.
But you didn't. You know this. So she left you.
Yes.
So why is she coming to you now?
I don't know. She wanted more, but I couldn't give her that. Maybe she's seen me with you.
But you suspect?
I suspect it has something to do with you. But I could be wrong. Now can we go back to bed? Anna studies me, surveying my chest. But I ignore her scrutiny and ask the question that's been nagging me since she told me she'd seen Leela. Why didn't you tell me yesterday? Anna has the grace to look guilty.
I forgot about her. You know, drinks after work, at the end of my first week, you turning up at the bar and your testosterone rush with Jack.
She gives me a shy smile.
And then when we were here, it slipped my mind. You have a habit of making me forget things.
I'd like to forget this now. Let's go back to bed. Testosterone rush, I repeat, amused.
Yes, the pissing contest.
I'll show you a testosterone rush. My voice is low.
Wouldn't you rather have a cup of tea?
She offers me a cup. No, Anastasia, I wouldn't. I want you now. Forget about her. Come. I hold out my hand. She sets the teacup back on the counter and puts her hand in mine. Back in her bedroom, I slide my shirt over her head. I like you wearing my clothes, I whisper.
I like wearing them. They smell of you.
I grasp her head between my hands and kiss her. I want to make her forget about Leela. I want to forget about Leela. I pick her up and walk her to the concrete wall. Wrap your legs around me, baby, I order. When I open my eyes, the room is bathed with light and Anna is awake beside me, tucked in the crook of my arm.
Hi,
she says, grinning as if she's up to some mischief. Hi, I respond cautiously. Something is off. What are you doing?
Looking at you.
She skims her hand down my belly, and my body comes to life. Whoa. I grab her hand. Surely she's sore after yesterday. She licks her lips, and her guilty grin is replaced with a knowledgeable, carnal smile. Maybe not. Waking up beside Anastasia Steele has definite advantages. Rolling on top of her, I grab her hands and pin her to the bed as she wriggles beneath me.
I think you're up to no good, Miss Steele. I like being up to no good near you.
She may as well be addressing my groin directly. You do. I give her a quick peck on the lips. She nods. Oh, you beautiful girl. Sex or breakfast? She tilts her hips to meet me, and it takes all my self-control not to take what she's offering straight away. No. Make her wait. Good choice. I kiss her throat, her clavicle, her sternum, her breast. She breathes. We lie in the afterglow. I don't remember moments like this before Anna. I didn't lie in bed, just being. I nuzzle her hair. All that's changed. She opens her eyes. Hi.
Hi.
Are you sore? I ask. Her cheeks pink.
No. Tired.
I stroke her cheek. You didn't get much sleep last night.
Neither did you.
Her smile is 100% coy Miss Steele, but her eyes cloud.
I haven't been sleeping well recently.
Remorse, swift and ugly, flares in my gut. I'm sorry, I reply.
Don't apologize, it was my...
I place my finger on her mouth. Hush. She purses her lips to kiss my finger. If it's any consolation, I confess, I haven't slept well this past week either.
Christian,
she says, and taking my hand, kisses each knuckle in turn.
It's an affectionate, humble gesture. My throat constricts as my heart expands. I'm on the edge of something unknown, a plane where the horizon disappears and the territory is new and unexplored. It's terrifying. It's confusing. It's exciting. What are you doing to me, Anna? Where are you leading me? I take a deep breath and focus on the woman beside me. She gives me a sexy smile, and I can see us spending the entire day in bed. But I realize I'm hungry. Breakfast? I ask.
Are you offering to make breakfast or demanding to be fed, Mr. Gray?
She teases. Neither. I'll buy you breakfast. I'm no good in the kitchen, as I demonstrated last night.
You have other qualities,
she says with a playful smirk.
Why, Miss Steele, whatever do you mean?
She narrows her eyes.
I think you know.
She's teasing me. She sits up slowly, swinging her legs out of bed.
You can shower in Kate's bathroom. It's bigger than mine.
Of course it is. I'll use yours. I like being in your space.
I like you being in my space, too.
She winks, gets up, and struts out of the bedroom. Brazen Anna. When I return from the cramped shower, I find Anna dressed in jeans and a tight t-shirt that leaves little to my imagination. She's messing with her hair. As I yank on my jeans, I feel the Audi key in my pocket. I wonder how she'll react when I give it back to her. She seemed to take the iPad well.
How often do you work out?
She asks, and I realize she's watching me in the mirror. Every weekday.
What do you do?
Run, weights, kickboxing. Sprinting to and from your apartment for the past week.
Kickboxing?
She queries. Yes, I have a personal trainer, an ex-Olympic contender who teaches me. His name is Claude. He's very good. I tell Anna that she'd like him as a trainer.
Why would I need a personal trainer? I have you to keep me fit.
I walk over to where she stands, still fiddling with her hair, and I embrace her. Our eyes meet in the mirror. But I want you fit, baby, for what I have in mind. I'll need you to keep up. That's if we ever get back into the playroom. She arches a brow. You know you want to. I mouth the words at her reflection. She toys with her lip, but then breaks our eye contact. What? I ask, concerned.
Nothing,
she says, and shakes her head.
Okay, I'll meet Claude.
You will? That was easy.
Yes, jeez, if it makes you that happy,
she says, and laughs. I squeeze her and give her a peck on her cheek. You have no idea. I kiss her behind her ear. So what would you like to do today?
I'd like to get my hair cut and, I need to bank a check and buy a car.
Ah, here goes. From my jeans pocket, I fish out the Audi key. It's here. I inform her. She looks blank, but then her cheeks pink and I realize she's upset.
What do you mean, it's here?
Taylor brought it back yesterday. She steps out of my embrace, scowling at me. Shit, she's pissed. Why? From the back pocket of her jeans, she brandishes an envelope.
Here, this is yours.
I recognize it as the envelope that I put the check in for her ancient Beetle. I lift both hands and step away. Oh, no, that's your money.
No, it isn't. I'd like to buy the car from you. What the hell?
She wants to give me money. No, Anastasia. Your money, your car.
No, Christian. My money, your car. I'll buy it from you.
Oh, no, you don't. I gave you that car for your graduation present. And you said you'd accept it.
If you'd given me a pen, that would be a suitable graduation present. You gave me an Audi.
Do you really want to argue about this?
No.
Good. Here are the keys. I place her keys on the dresser.
That's not what I meant.
End of discussion, Anastasia. Don't push me.
The look she's giving me now says it all. If I were dry tinder, I would burst into flame, and not in a good way. She's mad. Really mad. Suddenly, she narrows her eyes and gives me a wicked smile. Taking the envelope, she holds it aloft and, in a rather theatrical manner, rips it in half. And in half again. She drops the contents in her trash basket and gives me a victorious fuck you look. Oh, game on, Anna. You are, as ever, challenging, Miss Steele. I echo the words she used yesterday and turn on my heel and head into the kitchen. Now I'm pissed. Fucking pissed. How dare she? I find my phone and call Andrea.
Good morning, Mr. Gray.
She sounds a little breathless when she answers. Hi, Andrea. In the background, on her side of the call, I hear a woman shouting.
Doesn't he realize you're getting married today, Andrea?
Andrea's voice comes through.
Excuse me, Mr. Gray.
Married? There's the sound of muffled fumbling.
Mom, be quiet. It's my boss.
The muffling ceases.
What can I do for you, Mr. Gray?
She says. You're getting married?
Yes, sir.
Today?
Yes. What is it you want me to do?
I wanted you to deposit $24,000 into Anastasia Steele's bank account.
$24,000?
Yes, $24,000. Directly.
I'll take care of it. It will be in her account on Monday.
Monday?
Yes, sir.
Excellent.
Anything else, sir?
No, that's all, Andrea. I hang up, aggravated that I've disturbed her on her wedding day, and more aggravated that she didn't tell me she was getting married. Why wouldn't she tell me? Is she pregnant? Will I have to find a new PA? I turn to Miss Steele, who is fuming on the threshold. Deposited in your bank account Monday. Don't play games with me.
$24,000?
She shouts.
And how do you know my account number?
I know everything about you, Anastasia, I reply, trying to keep my cool.
There's no way my car was worth $24,000, she counters.
I would agree with you, but it's about knowing your market, whether you're buying or selling. Some lunatic out there wanted that death trap and was willing to pay that amount of money. Apparently it's a classic. Ask Taylor if you don't believe me. We glower at each other. Impossible woman. Impossible. Impossible. Her lips part. She's breathless, her pupils dilated, drinking me in, consuming me. Anna. Her tongue licks her lower lip. And it's there in the air between us, our attraction, a living force, building, building. Fuck. I grab her and push her against the door, my lips seeking and finding hers. I claim her mouth, kissing her greedily, my fingers closing around the nape of her neck, holding her. Her fingers are in my hair, pulling, directing me while she kisses me back, her tongue in my mouth, taking everything. I cup her behind and pull her against my erection and grind my body into hers. I want her. Again. Why do you defy me? I say out loud as I kiss her neckline. She tilts her head back to give me full access to her throat.
Because I can, she whispers.
Ah, she stole my line. I'm panting when I lean my forehead against hers. Lord, I want to take you now, but I'm out of condoms. I can never get enough of you. You're a maddening, maddening woman.
And you make me mad,
she breathes,
in every way.
I take a deep breath and look down into dark, hungry eyes that promise me the world, and I shake my head. Steady, Gray. Come, let's go out for breakfast, and I know a place you can get your hair cut.
Okay.
She smiles, and we fight no more. We walk hand in hand up Vine Street and turn right on First Avenue. I wonder how normal it is to go from seething at each other to this casual calm I feel as we walk through the streets. Maybe most couples are like this. I look down at Anna beside me. This feels so normal,
I tell her.
I love it.
Christian, I think Dr. Flynn would agree that you are anything but normal. Exceptional, maybe.
She squeezes my hand.
Exceptional. It's a beautiful day, she adds.
It is.
She briefly closes her eyes and turns her face to the morning sun.
Come, I know a great place for brunch.
One of my favorite cafes is only a couple of blocks from Anna's on First. When we get there, I open the door for Anna and pause to inhale the smell of fresh bread.
What a charming place,
she says when we sit down at a table.
I love the art on the walls.
They support a different artist every month. I found Troughton here.
Raising the ordinary to extraordinary,
Anna says.
You remembered.
There's very little I could forget about you, Mr. Gray.
And I, you, Miss Steele. You are extraordinary.
I chuckle and hand her a menu.
I'll get this.
Anna grabs the check before I do.
You have to be quick around here, Gray.
You're right, I do.
I grumble. Someone who owes more than $50,000 in student loan debt should not be paying for my breakfast.
Don't look so cross. I'm $24,000 richer than I was this morning. I can afford...
She inspects the bill.
$22.67 for breakfast.
Short of wrestling the check from her, there's little I can do.
Thank you, I mutter.
Where to now?
She asks. You really want your haircut?
Yes, look at it.
Dark tendrils have escaped from her ponytail, framing her beautiful face.
You look lovely to me. You always do.
There's your father's function this evening.
I remind her that it's black tie and at my parents' home. They have a tent, you know, the works.
What's the charity?
It's a drug rehab program for parents with young kids called Coping Together. I hold my breath, hoping that she doesn't start to ask me about the Gray connection to this cause. It's personal, and I don't need her pity. I've told her all I want to tell her about that time in my life.
Sounds like a good cause,
she says with compassion, and thankfully leaves it there. Come, let's go. I stand and hold out my hand, ending the conversation.
Where are we going?
She asks as we continue our walk down First Avenue.
Surprise.
I can't tell her it's Elena's place. I know she'll freak. From our conversation in Savannah, I know the mere mention of her name is a hot button for Anna. It's Saturday and Elena doesn't work on weekends. And when she does work, it's at the salon in the Bravern Center.
Here we are.
I open the door at Esclava and usher Anna in. I haven't been here for a couple of months. The last time was with Susanna.
Good morning, Mr. Gray.
Greta greets us. Hello, Greta.
Is this the usual, sir?
She asks politely.
Fuck.
No. I give Anna a nervous look. Miss Steele will tell you what she wants. Anna's eyes are on me, burning with insight.
Why here?
She demands. I own this place and three more like it.
You own it?
Yes, it's a sideline. Anyway, whatever you want, you can have it here on the house. I run through all the spa treatments available. All that stuff that women like. Everything. It's done here.
Waxing?
For a split second, I think about recommending the chocolate wax for her pubic hair. But given our détente, I keep my suggestion to myself. Yes, waxing too. Everywhere. Anna blushes. How will I ever convince her that penetrative sex would be more pleasurable for her without the hair? One step at a time, Gray.
I'd like a haircut, please,
she says to Greta.
Certainly, Miss Steele.
Greta concentrates on her computer and punches a few keys.
Franco is free in 5 minutes.
Franco's fine, I confirm, but notice Anna's demeanor has suddenly changed. I'm about to ask what's wrong when I glance up and see Elena walking out of the back office.
Hell, what's she doing here?
Elena has a quick word with one of her employees, then she spies me and lights up like Christmas, her expression one of wicked delight. Shit. Excuse me, I say to Anna, and hurry to meet Elena before she makes her way to us.
Well, this is an unexpected pleasure.
Elena purrs in greeting as she kisses me on both cheeks. Good morning, ma'am. I wasn't expecting to see you here.
My esthetician called in sick. So you have been avoiding me?
I've been busy.
I can see. Is that someone new?
That is Anastasia Steele. Elena beams at Anna, who is watching us intently. She knows that we're talking about her, and she responds with a lukewarm smile. Damn.
Your little Southern belle?
Elena asks. She's not Southern.
I thought you went to Georgia to see her?
Her mom lives there.
I see. She certainly looks like your type.
Yeah. Let's not go there.
Are you going to introduce me?
Anna is talking to Greta, grilling her, I think. What's she asking? I don't think that's a good idea. Elena looks disappointed.
Why not?
She's named you Mrs. Robinson.
Oh, really? That's funny. Though I'm surprised someone that young knows the reference.
Elena's tone is wry.
I'm also astonished you told her about us. What happened to confidentiality?
She taps a scarlet fingernail against her lips. She's not going to talk.
I hope so. Look, don't worry. I'll back off.
She holds her hands up in surrender. Thank you.
But is this a good idea, Christian? She's hurt you once already.
Elena's face is etched with concern. I don't know. I missed her. She missed me. I've decided I'm going to try it her way. She's willing.
Her way? Are you sure you can? Are you sure you want to?
Anna is still staring at us. She's alarmed. Time will tell, I answer.
Well, I'm here if you need me. Good luck.
She gives me a soft but calculated smile.
Don't be a stranger.
Thanks. Are you going to my parents' soiree this evening?
I don't think so.
That's probably a good idea. She looks momentarily surprised, but says,
Let's catch up later this week when we can talk more freely.
Sure. She squeezes my arm and I head back to Anna, who is still waiting by the reception desk. Her face is pinched and her arms are folded across her body as she radiates her displeasure. This is not good. Are you okay? I ask, knowing full well that she isn't.
Not really. You didn't want to introduce me?
She replies, in a tone that's both sarcastic and indignant. Christ, she knows it's Elena.
How?
But I thought... Anna interrupts me.
For a bright man, sometimes?
She stops mid-sentence, too angry to continue.
I'd like to go, please.
She taps her foot against the marble floor. Why?
You know why.
She snaps and rolls her eyes as if I'm the biggest idiot she's ever met. You are the biggest idiot she's ever met, Gray. You know how she feels about Elena. Everything was going so well. Make this right, Gray. I'm sorry, Anna. I didn't know she'd be here. She's never here. She's opened a new branch at the Bravern Center, and that's where she's normally based. Someone was sick today. Anna turns abruptly and storms to the door. We won't need Franco, Greta. I inform the receptionist, annoyed that she may have heard our exchange. Hastily, I go after Anna. She wraps her arms around herself defensively and marches up the street with her head down. I'm forced to take longer strides to catch up with her. Anna, stop. You're overreacting. She simply doesn't understand the nature of Elena's and my relationship. As I walk beside her, I'm floundering. What do I do? What do I say? Perhaps Elena is right. Can I do this? I've never tolerated this kind of behavior from any submissive. What's more, none of them have been this petulant. But I hate it when she's angry with me.
You used to take your subs there?
She asks, and I don't know if it's a rhetorical question or not. I chance a reply. Some of them, yes.
Leela?
Yes.
The place looks very new.
It's been refurbished recently.
I see. So Mrs. Robinson met all your subs?
Yes.
Did they know about her?
Not in the way you're thinking. They never knew about our DS relationship. They just thought we were friends. No, none of them did. Only you.
But I'm not your sub.
No, you most definitely are not. Because I certainly wouldn't indulge this behavior from anyone else. She stops suddenly and whirls around to face me, her expression bleak.
Can you see how fucked up this is?
She says. Yes, I'm sorry. I didn't know she was going to be there.
I want to get my hair cut, preferably somewhere where you haven't fucked either the staff or the clientele.
Her voice is hoarse and she's on the verge of tears. Anna.
Now, if you'll excuse me.
She turns to go. You're not running, are you? Panic starts to well inside me. This is it. She's out before we've even had a second chance. Gray, you've blown it.
No!
She shouts, exasperated.
I just want a damn haircut, somewhere I can close my eyes, have someone wash my hair, and I can forget about all this baggage that accompanies you.
She's not leaving me. I take a deep breath. I can have Franco come to the apartment, or your place. I offer.
She's very attractive.
Christ, not this.
Yes, she is.
So what? Give it up, Anna.
Is she still married?
No, she got divorced about 5 years ago.
Why aren't you with her?
Anna, let it go. Because that's over between us. I've told you this. How many times do I need to tell her? My phone vibrates in my jacket pocket. I hold my finger up to stop her tirade and answer my phone. The caller ID says it's Welch. I wonder what he has to report.
Mr. Gray.
Welch?
Three things. We've tracked Mrs. Leela Reed to Spokane, where she'd been living with a man named Jeffrey Berry. He was killed in an auto accident on I-90.
Killed in a car crash when?
4 weeks ago. Her husband, Russell Reed, knew about Barry, but still won't disclose where Mrs. Reed has gone.
That's twice that bastard's not been forthcoming. He must know. Does he have no feelings for her whatsoever? I'm staggered that her ex could be so heartless.
He has feelings for her, but they're certainly not matrimonial.
This is beginning to make sense.
Did the psychiatrist give you anything to go on?
Welch asks. No.
Could she be suffering a kind of psychosis?
I agree with Welch that this might be her condition, but it still doesn't explain where she is, which is what I really want to know. I look around. Where are you, Leela? She's here. She's watching us. I mutter.
Mr. Gray, we're close. We'll find her.
Welch tries to reassure me and asks if I'm at Escala. No. I wish Anna and I weren't so exposed here on the street.
I'm considering how many people you need for your close protection team.
2 or 4, 24/7.
Okay, Mr. Gray. Have you told Anastasia?
I haven't broached that yet. Anna's watching me, listening. Her expression is intense but inscrutable.
You should.
There's something else.
Mrs. Reed has obtained a concealed weapons license.
What? Fear grips my heart.
The details came up in our search this morning.
I see. When?
It's dated yesterday.
That recently? But how?
She forged the papers.
No background checks?
All the forms are faked. She's using a different name.
I see. Email the name, address, and photos if you have them.
Will do. And I'll organize the additional security.
24/7 from this afternoon. Establish liaison with Taylor. I hang up. This is serious.
Well,